For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Chim Gosrim.
And I'm Bolu.
Yeah, so what's popping? How you doing? Okay, sorry, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Nothing's popping.
We thank God for life.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, so many things are happening, right? There's Elon Musk every other week, and there's layoffs. So many things. But yeah, so many things are also happening within TechPoint. We are bringing fresh updates for you. Everybody on this table. Why am I saying this table? But yeah, everybody on this table has fresh updates for you, right? We are upgrading. We are injecting fresh energy into all our series, all our articles, all our podcasts. But there are so many things that are going to be going on, and we're also introducing new and exciting stuff. So let's start with Chingozuri. Tell us your update.
All right, so yesterday I published an article, and
I try to sound excited as much as possible.
Okay, so yesterday yesterday I published Equity Merchants, and it's previously it used to be known as Angels and VCs, and back then we just spoke to angel investors, venture capital and partners at venture capital firms to get their takes on investing in Africa. But we are doing a lot more this time around, so we are not just speaking to angel investors and VCs. We are speaking to founders, we are speaking to people who just got their first jobs in VC to get a whole, let's say, a wider range of views, for lack of a better word. So some of the things we'll be covering include co-founder relationship. It's one of the reasons why startups go under. Funny enough, like 65% of startups go under because of co-founders. So we'll be covering how to navigate that. We'll be covering how to allocate equity to both co-founders, to employees, to investors, stuff like that. We'll also be covering what the due diligence process looks like. So there's a whole lot we're going to be talking about. It's no longer just going to be investments, how to get money and all of that. So yeah, just be get ready. Or we already started, so it's not like get ready, but like you're going to be getting a whole lot. So the first article is live. It also has a podcast, which you can get on any podcast platform that you use: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. So any podcast platform that you use. So the first one is live, and I spoke to Victoria Fabumi. She's the head of investments at CC Hub, and it was a very, very interesting conversation. I can promise you that you would love it. If you don't, well, I don't know what to say to you, but yeah, you'd love the conversation, you'd love the article. So yeah, go ahead, read the article, subscribe to the podcast, share it with as many people as you like, and who knows, you might get something for that. So yeah, that's it for my end.
Cool stuff. So it happens weekly, right? And what day of the week and what time?
Every Wednesday by 12 p.m. you'd get it. 12 p.m. it'll be up on. The podcast will be up, the article will be live, and then you'd get a newsletter at summarizing every investment-related activity in Africa for that week. So that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the equity and businesses, co-founder relationship, investment, and something that a lot of people are investing in right now is emerging tech. So Bolu, what's the update with emerging tech?
Okay, yeah, like I said,
excitement. Thank you.
I want to copy, but yes. So for my series, there's a lot of interesting stuff happening. We're talking AI, we're talking IoT, we're talking anything you see in a basic American sci-fi movie.
So
I'll be talking about emerging technologies, specifically people in emerging technologies. That's the name of the series. And just like Tim Gozerim series, there'll be a podcast, there'll be articles, and there'll be a newsletter. So it's going to be coming out every Thursday, 12 p.m. Just make sure you subscribe for the newsletter, subscribe for the podcast. The podcast is going to be a version of the article, but then with more finesse, more spice, you know, narrated in a way where you really get the story, where you get the gist. So if you're excited about, you know, comics, you're excited about movies, you're excited about emerging technologies, I'll be talking to people who build this technology and the interesting stuff they are doing. People build technologies like this on the continent, and it's going to be really amazing. It's going to be very sweet, actually.
Awesome. So what time, date? Let's get that clear. Let's be clear with that. Time,
okay,
and date.
Yes, let me get that clear to you. So it's going to be 12 p.m. every Thursday. You have the podcast, you have the article, and you have the newsletter. 12 p.m. every Thursday.
12 p.m. West African time, right?
Yes, West African time.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. That's awesome. Emerging tech, and in all these fields, in emerging tech, in investments, and in startups, you actually see people who actually stand out. And that's what Oluwani Femi is trying to address in her series. And she has like a whole new packaged and serene. Let me call it serene. So, Oluwani Femi, talk to me.
Don't put words in my mouth. So I'm going to sound as excited as I am. I'm actually excited, right? The expert, if you've been following TechPoint Africa, you would have seen several episodes of the expert before this year. And what you are doing is bringing a whole new look to it, right? The expert, if you're hearing for the first time, the expert is me getting personal with tech specialists in Africa, conversing with them, hearing their stories, and bringing it to you, right? We're moving the focus away from just founders and their startups to people behind the scene, in quotes, people that are doing the work behind the scene, and their stories are not usually told. So I'm speaking with these people, hearing about their journey, how they moved from being newbies to become experts, to become successes in their industries and industry experts. So, yeah, so the new thing we are bringing to it is a size the article that goes live on the website every Tuesday by noon, West African time, 12 p.m. West African time every Tuesday. I'm also including a podcast, which will be a scripted non-fiction podcast that will tell the stories of these ones with everything that makes it interesting to listen to. So if you want to read the article, you find it on the website. We also add the link. We also embed how you can get to the podcast, or you can just find the expert on any platform you listen to your podcast. You find it there. Also, for accompany this to is also the newsletter, which will include like tidbits about coming episodes, right? It also includes something that is not actually in the article that the person said. Yes, I'll be hiding some facts away from you if you're not subscribed to the newsletter. So I will put the link in the description to everything, to the article. Recently, on Tuesday, I wrote about a Kenyan seasoned entrepreneur. His name is Joram Winamo, and he has been in the business since 2007. What he has been doing is to help businesses in Kenya make founders rather to make sense of what they are doing, not just to focus on the tech, right? I wrote a story and everything about him. You can go to our website and follow the link we drop in the description. It will lead you there. So I'm looking forward to having you read more of these stories.
Okay. Oluwanifemi.
I told you, I'm excited.
You are really, really excited. You didn't want to stop talking. Yeah, but it's good. Yeah, and please follow the experts everywhere you can follow the experts. So, yes, we have another one, a new series, a brand new series, and Onome has some details for us. Onome is our producer, but we're dragging her to come and talk to us. Yes, Onome, take it up.
Okay, hi everybody. So, Onome here.
Long time.
Okay, yeah, so we're introducing a new series. I'm going to be taking charge of that series. Taking charge. Don't see this in a bad light, but yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. And the name of the series is Everyday People. And basically, the series is about everyday people. The name is quite self-explanatory. So it's about how people use tech, how people interact with tech, whether it's unusual, whether it's mundane, whether it's ordinary, whether it's extraordinary, whatever way you use tech. We're going to be talking to people, say your tailor that uses a booking appointment app, or a delivery rider or something. Like, you get, if you've been listening, you get the drift of what I'm talking about. And yeah, that's basically what I'm going to be doing. Unlike Nifemi and Bolu and all of those, I'm not doing a podcast. But yeah, welcome to my series. I forgot to mention that so it's going to be live every Friday at 9 p.m. West African time. So just set your reminders. 9 a.m.
Oh, cool. So that's something you can cool off with if you don't want to cool off with following the money. Yeah. So yeah, thank you very much, Onome. Yeah, and finally, I'm rounding up the whole conversation with my own series. We're introducing it, and it's called the East Africa Weekly. Now, you might decide to call it a series, but I don't see it as a series. It's a movement. It's a revolution.
Yeah, it is action.
Okay, yeah, so, well, Tech Point Africa is a Pan-African media organization, and we've been covering stories around Africa, but we went to Kenya around February, and we saw a lot of things that entrepreneurs in Kenya are doing, and a lot of exciting stuff. They're doing amazing stuff, and we think that, oh, this is the time to actually put East African entrepreneurs in the spotlight. They're different breeds of entrepreneurs from what you would typically see in the Lagos ecosystem. Trust me, I saw a number of them, and they're just a different breed, right? The entrepreneurs, investors, and even the regulators. I was talking with a regulator, and I didn't know I was talking with the Deputy Minister of ICT in Kenya until someone pointed it out to me. We're just eating small chops and talking about a startup that it's unheard of. I have not, okay, not unheard of, but yeah, me, Emmanuel, not a startup founder, not a big time investor, just a random journalist talking to someone like that so casually. So there are a lot of things that are going to be going on in East Africa, and we're spotlighting it with East Africa Weekly. This is just a starting point, and it's going to grow to so, so much. It's going to be coming to your stables every Wednesday by 9 a.m. West African time. And just watch out for the exciting stuff that will be coming alongside the article. I'm not going to say anything else. Yeah? Okay? It's like I said, it's a movement. It's a revolution. Good. So, yeah, we're talking about a lot of things today. All of you are giving me faces. Why? Yes. Yeah, we're going to be talking about a lot of things today, and talking about emerging techs. Yeah, Bolu mentioned Web3, and it appears stuff is going on again in the NFT space. And I promise I will not integrate you too much, Bolu. Please
feel free. No. Feel free to interrogate. Ask
questions. Oh, okay. You've eaten liver. All right.
That's how those emerging tech people do.
You know it, right? All right. So, Ayoke, that's an NFT marketplace, an African NFT marketplace, has just raised $1.4 million in pre-seed funding to help creators make
money to grow their stream of income, right? And so I know the first question in most people's minds will be, what is an NFT marketplace, right? And it's simply, to put it simply, it's just a marketplace for NFTs. Just it as your regular Oshodi Majorf market. But then instead of buying fish and stew and pepper,
the kind of picture you just put in my
head. you're buying
NFTs in Oshodi.
Exactly. So you're buying and you're selling NFTs, basically. So this marketplace wants to make it easier for you to actually buy and sell. It wants to make it easier for creatives to list those NFTs, and then anyone from anywhere around the world can actually buy them, which is pretty interesting if you ask me. But there have been marketplaces here and there, but this is unique for some reason. So some popular marketplaces that some people might know might be OpenSea, Rarible. Those are some really popular marketplaces.
Yes, I've heard those ones.
I'm sure you have. So most, even people that don't really know much about NFT, they've heard of OpenSea, right? So, but this marketplace is actually doing something quite interesting. So instead of the regular thing where you do an OpenSea and then you need Ethereum to buy something, you need Ethereum to sell something, this marketplace actually wants to connect it with mobile money. Isn't that interesting?
Tell me about it.
So they were connecting with mobile money. So it actually takes away that whole ambiguousness from the whole NFT thing, right? Because the reason why this space has been so complicated is because, I mean, for me now, I'll say, okay, maybe buying and selling something on OpenSea is really not that hard. But for someone who doesn't even know, okay, where do I even get the Ethereum in the first place? How do I buy it? How am I sending it to OpenSea? So this marketplace is actually making it a lot easier with these new integrations that they are trying to do. But then there are still some questions. Yes, they are connecting with mobile money, it's going to be easier, but this whole NFT space is still, you know, we've written about it, we've spoken about it, but I'm sure you agree with me, it is not clear yet, is it?
I think for people that
attended
Tech Point African Blockchain Summit, that attended the breakout session talking about NFTs, they should have gotten some form of clarity about it. But for some of us that didn't attend, I have an issue with it.
You see, so I guess, you know, that's the area where, and some of these questions include, there's the issue of licensing, there's the issue of, is this thing actually even ready for creatives to start using? And we decided to speak to a few, to two people that we know are really doing things in this space, and they had this to say.
What you can make from selling 1,000 NFTs is not the same amount that you make when you have 1 million streams on Spotify or Apple. You understand? And on Spotify or Apple, if you end up putting out your song and streaming, if you have like distribution companies, labels or something, you know, taking from the money.
Okay.
So, but you putting out your own NFTs on your own, and you own your rights and the rest. If you sell your NFTs for let's say $1,000 each or $100 each or $200 each, and you sell 1,000 copies, what you're definitely gonna make is far, far higher than what you make in 1 million stream on the streaming platform.
That was the voice of Eric Okobasi. Is an NFT, he's a specialist when it comes to artists trying to sell their music as NFTs. He's doing a lot in the whole music NFT space, and he's saying you make more when you actually sell as NFTs instead of streaming, sell your music as NFTs instead of streaming on Spotify, Apple or Google, for example, which is quite interesting, right? So say you stream, you get 1 million streams a month, right? I'm not sure what the amount will be, but it's not going to be the same thing when you sell, say, 1 million copies of NFTs. And if you've been following the old music NFT stories since last year, you heard the news of Tory Lanez that actually sold 1 million NFTs of his music and for $1, which is $1 million. $1 million. And if you have 1 million streams on Google, you will not make $1 million, which is quite funny.
This thing is confusing. Is it the same thing as selling copies of your art?
Exactly. So the difference now is each copy is unique, which is why we call them NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Each copy is now unique. But then, which makes it easier for you. Yes, but they're actually unique. And then I think we'll probably link to an article that tells us what you actually get when you buy an NFT, which is something called metadata, right? The metadata is different from each other, which is actually what makes them unique. So it's interesting when he says, you know, you make so much more, but then it's funny because the chances of you getting 1 million streams on Spotify is actually higher than the chances of you selling 1 billion NFTs on OpenSea or any other NFT marketplace. And I was able to talk to someone that has actually done the NFT project for one of Nigeria's biggest Afrobeat artists. His name is Benson, was formerly Buju, and I was able to talk to the team lead in charge of his NFT project, and this is actually what he had to say.
Quite honestly, like, we're not at the level of like mass adoption, right? But we are having this conversation in 2022, obviously, because all of the conversations we've had this month or this year rather have basically been because of NFTs, right? I probably wouldn't have connected with you if it wasn't because of
NFTs. Exactly.
Right, so what does that say? To me, like, that describes just how quickly, like, adoption is growing. Right? And, yeah, I think it's necessary for early players like, you know, this company, for projects like us by Benson, for all of the other music-related, like, innovations around the blockchain. I think it's very important for us to experiment at this point because these are the only ways we're going to figure out, you know, the pathways for moving forward. Right, so it's relatively new, like, and the reason why it would be, like, it would not be the time yet, like you're saying, right, or like you're asking, is because obviously we're still at the very beginning.
All right, so this is someone that has done, he goes by the name Prodigy, right? He's in the music space, is very knowledgeable when you talk about selling music as NFTs also, and I think when you're talking about artists that are really doing this NFT thing, right? Buju's collection is probably one of the most successful NFT collections we've seen so far. So, and you just have to agree with him when he says it's still new, it's still very nascent, right? It's not something that has taken over that much, but it's something revolutionary. So, which again makes what Ayoken is doing very, very important, but then it's still very new. But the interesting thing is Ayoken actually they've put in things to make things easier for creatives that want to sell. So they have partnership with YouTubers, they have partnership with a lot of people that will actually let the marketing work. The marketing for these NFTs work. So which increases the creative's chances of actually selling those works as an NFT. And I think that's really interesting. Okay. But Even with putting these things in place, it's still not sure that, okay, once I list this thing as an NFT, it's going to sell, right? But it's a welcome development, and I think what we can just do is let's wait and see. Let's see what happens with Ayoken. Great development. It's nice, but let's see how it goes.
The vibe I'm getting.
So I just kept myself from asking any questions since, and the more you went on, the more I had more questions. So Nifemi, just ask your question. Let's just calm down with this.
Okay. The vibe I'm getting is that although it's at the beginning stage, right?
Okay.
Now that I'm selling, if I'm an artist and I can sell one track to 1 million people, like uniquely. Why should I go ahead to do more albums or do more tracks? Because the way it sounded like is, I don't know the prospect of this taking up the existing distribution channels, right?
Yeah.
But I just can't wrap my head around it.
Okay, so for your question, well, I'm not an artist, but I agree with you. If I'm able to make $1 million with one album, I will not sing again. It's true. But I guess I've heard artists talk about, you know, the love they have, their passion for the work. But it's also a thing of decision. If he does one good album and the thing does well, and he does not want to sing again, I guess it's just left. It's left to the artist to.
The only thing I like about this platform that is or like is like a local market place, instead of art getting lost in open sea, you can bring it to this kind of marketplace, which has indigenous content like yours.
Exactly,
it's exposed to people that you want to really put it in their faces. That's what I like about it. But the concept of NFT,
the concept of NFT, I think that's a really big question on its own. And
okay, that's a big question we should address later, right?
Yes, it's a big question. And I have an article later that will actually address that will be coming out soon. Just be on the lookout. It's a big deal, right? It has to do with psychology. It has to do with the way people think. NFTs are new, but the old thought around them is something that has been in existence for as long as you can think, right? But don't worry. Before we bore you with all that, you see it in the article.
Okay. No problem. So talking about something that is not new but has been in existence for a very, very long time, layoffs. Layoffs, like when whoever employs you or feeds you or gives you money to perform a particular good or services decide that you guys are no longer useful. And in the news in recent times, an Egyptian startup, or I'm putting an Egyptian startup in quotes, just recently laid off a bunch of people. Chinguzuri, reporting from
here. Yes. Swivel, the not so Egyptian startup. By the way, we need a consensus. If you're an Egyptian startup, are you an African startup, or are you a Middle Eastern startup? Because a lot of reports tend to mix the two up. So
who do we drag?
Are you asking
who
us?
Who should we drag?
Are you asking us?
if Egypt is categorized to be African, what to do?
Well, I actually don't know the answer to that question. There was an article recently, I think last year, I saw an article and they were like, are Egyptian startups actually African startups? Because most of the time, they are covered by Middle Eastern startups and by Middle Eastern media. So, well, that's a different conversation. Okay. Not really, that's not what we're discussing today. So moving on, Swivel is the not so Egyptian startup or company that has laid off about 32% of its employees. So this is, like Emmanuel said, it's not such a new thing. If you've been paying attention to the startup ecosystem, a lot of companies have been laying off or pausing hiring. So companies like Facebook, they've stopped hiring internally. Guys like Klarna.
Netflix.
Yeah, they've also laid off.
Wow, right? Bolt.
So they've been laying off. There has been a lot of layoffs in the past few weeks, and this time around it's Swivel that is doing that. They say they are planning to lay off 32% of their workforce, and this is like over 400 people. So this is the first time that
Is he planning to lay off, or they've said they've laid them off?
Well, they said they are planning to do that. We don't know when that will come into effect. It could be in a couple of days. But yeah, that's like what they want to do.
I think they have done it. A number of people are already putting out their resumes on LinkedIn.
Oh, Swivel employees.
Making posts about the layoff.
Oh.
Yes,
Swivel or ex-employees now. Okay. Okay.
Ex-employees, yeah, you're right.
All right, so that's like one of the changes that has been happening. But what's funny, or not really funny now, but what's interesting is that this is probably the first African startup that we know of that's announcing a layoff. And if the jury says that they are not African, then we can say no African startup has laid off employees so far. So yeah, they are the first African startup or company that are laying off staff in this period. And so that's on one hand. On the other hand, African startups are still receiving more money than, like, compared to other parts of the world, they're still receiving more money. So it looks like everything that is happening globally is not really affecting African startups. But some people say it's too early for us to draw conclusions. I mean, this is just a few weeks or a few months into the whole crisis. So let's hope that trend continues. But some of the interesting things that happened, or in the statement that was sent out to the employees, was one, they mentioned that they are laying off these employees, and that those roles that they are retiring now, those roles are going to be, they are roles that they've automated with technology. So that's an interesting part.
I'm finding that to believe totally, right? I was able to find two ex-employees that were laid off from this from what happened, and one of them is like was the global operations manager.
Okay, they probably automated that.
How do you want to do that?
You have automated global operations
manager for Captain K. Captain K is like Cow Care.
Okay.
As Cow Care is to Tecno, Infinix, and Itel. So Captain K is the one in charge of their app, Swivel Apps. So he only spent 3 months there. He was hired in March, I believe. And he was laid off. The other person had only used 2 weeks.
Wait.
He was hired in March and he was retrenched when?
Yes. And the other person that I found was a tech talent acquisition partner. It's funny because you're the one that's supposed to be getting people hired and you are fired. She only spent 2 weeks before she was fired, right?
So naturally, if a company is expressing a financial crunch, and the most recent people that just joined the company might be the ones to
exactly
one of the best,
and some people that already received
offers.
There was one person that said he has received offer, and the offer was
withdrawn. Yeah.
Declined, if that's the word, was withdrawn, right? And this is coming not too long from when Swivel went public, and it's I don't know. See, I don't want to. Maybe this is just me. I don't know if you can attribute this or blame this on the recession or what is going on.
Well, can you? So the thing is, they went public recently, right?
It's perfect timing. Right?
They went public in March.
Is it? The going public, was it an actual going public, like, or was it different from the typical
IPO? So they went public, but not in the most popular way that companies go public. So a lot of companies typically go public through the usual IPO route. So you get an investment bank to like underwrite the whole process. But Swivel did that through a SPAC. So last year they announced that they were going to do their IPO through a SPAC, Queen's Gambit Capital. So Queen's Gambit Growth Capital. So those were that's the company that helped them do that. So you may be wondering what the SPAC is. And SPAC is just short form for Special Purpose Acquisition Vehicles. So this is basically a group of entrepreneurs who float a fund. So SPACs are not like companies in the real sense of it, at least until they are launched. They're not companies in the real sense of it. So let's say some of the richest men in Nigeria, let's say Dangote, Otedola, the Adenugas, guys like that come together and then they say, okay, we want to launch a SPAC, so come and invest with us. So you basically give them the money, and the purpose is that they are going to take one company that probably has not been identified or has not been identified at all. They will take that company public, or they are going to acquire some private companies. So it's been around for a couple of decades, but it's just catching on in the last 3 years. So I think from under 60 SPACs in 2019, we have like over 300 or 400 SPACs in the last 3 to 4 years. So they are catching on quickly. Some of the let's say wealthiest men in the world are like doing all of that. So it's still new. And what I'm also a bit curious that they decided to go through a SPAC, because so typically when you IPO, you'll be like your account, the reason you go public is that they have to like audit your account.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use a SPAC, right, you are not audited, because now a SPAC did not exist until it's like a specific period. So there's like less regulatory oversight compared to a SPAC. So usually some investors said like, no, let's not do this, because anything can really happen. So yeah, that's why I'm a bit curious as to why Swivel decided to do that. But yeah, that was how they listed on the stock exchange. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Earlier today, Emmanuel was talking about the trend. So Jumia went public, then Swivel has gone public now. So initially, they wanted a $1.5 billion valuation. And SPACs are usually listed at $10 per share, right? So if, like, just flat, $10 per share. But Swivel did not, they didn't get to that $10 per share. Instead, they traded between $4 and $8. So they didn't get the unicorn valuation that they were hoping for. So I don't know. It doesn't look like going public has been the best for African companies. So what could be the problem?
Okay, so in my opinion, no African company has gone public yet. But yeah, let's leave that conversation for another day. Yeah. And those are valid concerns. Startup, private company, doing a lot of things in-house and raising money at massive valuations, then going public, then things going to bust. It's not unique to Africa. The US has experienced quite a number of those. And there are a number of conversations, and I think the geek in me is actually very interested to know what rules they are planning to automate.
I will look into that.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
I think it will take a while before we can find that.
All right. It's been an interesting one, and I think there are a number of things that there are a number of takeaways from this episode, and starting from all the bunch of new series we're launching and the previous ones we are revamping. And that reminds me, How I Work is also back.
Yay.
12 a.m. 12 p.m. WAT every Monday, don't forget. And of course, The Expats on Tuesday, East Africa Weekly on Wednesdays, The Equity Merchants by 12 p.m. on Wednesdays, People in Emerging Tech on Thursdays, and Everyday People on Fridays. So don't miss out on any of this. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on the stories we discussed today, the NFT marketplace, and of course the Swivel layoffs. So send your thoughts or tweet at us with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast, or email us with the email address podcast@techpoint.africa. And if you're listening to us for the first time, Bolu, please do us the honors as usual.
Okay, you can get us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you get the podcast. I nailed it.
You can't.
Nod your head like a teacher, the lizard, my friend. That's good. All right, guys. So yeah, and from next week, it's going to be a totally different airport. It's going to be a totally different ecosystem. Trust me. All right, guys.
Bye,
see you,
everyone.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.